Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
All right, viewers and listeners, Meat Hook Jim here. And no, it's not the lockdown, it's still the stay-at-home order, John.
Wow, you're bringing back that joke from last time.
I am.
That's nicely done, Jim.
Thank you. And welcome to another laughing episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. I am joined by my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what's going on?
Oh, just living the dream, Bubba. What's happening?
Watching my wife and my daughter do the yard, and I'm not doing it.
Hey, there you go. You got to teach me how to pull that off. I just got done doing my yard.
Well, they like the new lawnmower I got them. It's a battery-powered 40-volt.
Oh, nice.
Battery-powered lawnmower, and they just love it to death because it's nice and quiet.
There you go. Let them have at it, huh?
All right. Chris was out there edging and weed eating. I didn't have to do anything. And, of course, with us most of the time, Mr. John Orlando. John, what's going on?
How's it going, everybody? Hope everyone's safe and healthy and whatnot out there as we continue to push along here at the in this quarantine lifestyle that we're living, huh?
You know, there was way too many people on the road today. Myself included. But we're not going to talk about that. We got our special guest with us this week. His name is Sherman Tank, but I've heard that he's reduced size to like, some kind of Jeep Wrangler or something. But Tank, how are you, man?
Not too bad. How about you guys?
We're hanging in there. Hey, thanks for joining us on Wrestle Horror.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So I'm going to let Donnie kick things off with this episode here. So.
For all the old schoolers in our region, they definitely know who Sherman Tank is. But for all the new people out there, he's been away for a little while, taking a little break. Tank, we've got a long history as well as Orlando. So tell the people a little bit about yourself, when you started, and then we can share some of our stories if you'd like.
Started in the Akron-Canton area in 1995. Chief down Red Cloud broke me in at a really early age, and started traveling around with him when I was like really young, 13 years old, and just learning the trade, learning the business, learning, you know, paying my dues, and then moved to Columbus in 96 to pursue a degree at Ohio State, and that's where I met you crazy guys.
Right. And you never regretted a second of it. Well, I say
I was a few years after 95 or 96, right. But yeah. Still.
Yeah, well, we met in probably around 97. That's when I broke in. And I say Orlando probably knows this. I don't know if Jim does, but this guy right here was probably without a doubt one of my favorite people to work with and to wrestle. Reason being is his style was similar to mine, and because we're both kind of dumb, I guess. But, yeah, we worked well together. You know, he was Sherman Tank. I was the Orient Express was my moniker. So we were both kind of big. And the thing I liked most about him, which is weird, is that he could lay him in on me to where it was easy for me to sell because, you know, like I said, I was more of a stiffer worker than most people, and it's just the way I like. And I didn't like when people worked light on me because I couldn't feel what they were doing. So I didn't know how to sell it, I guess, if I wasn't looking. So I didn't have to worry about that with Tank because we had this agreement. I mean, we were like, you know, great friends, and he was showing me a lot, kind of took me under his wing along with Roadblock and a bunch of the other guys. And we just basically got in there and just hammered the shit out of each other, and we didn't care. Like, we tell each other if we hit each other too hard, that's just, you know, don't worry about it, just keep going. And that was just kind of the style we developed. And I think we never worked together. We was never a tag team. We were always across the ring from each other, and I think I probably enjoyed every match we ever did. I don't know one match that we did that I didn't enjoy. And but yeah, he's been around the block. He's met a lot of people. He's done a lot of good stuff. And so yeah, I mean, he's, like I said, he's probably one of my favorite people in the wrestling business to work with.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you were always one of my favorite as well. I would assume that's why we, as stiff as we were, that's probably why we're having the health issues that we've had.
Probably
the last 20 some years.
Yeah, it probably didn't help matters much.
Right, yeah. For sure.
I mean, this guy here, it wasn't really his fault, but I'm just blaming him. But we were actually in practice one night, and we weren't even wrestling in a match. We were in practice, and
we were shooting a commercial or something.
I think it was. And he gave me a spine buster because that was like his finisher, and we were just practicing some spots, and I didn't tuck my head enough, and my head bounced off the mat, and I legit started seeing like Goofy, like the Disney characters and the story characters, and like I saw stuff like floating around in the sky, and I was like, I see Goofy, and like people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? So like one of my many concussions is I'm blaming him for it. So he probably gave me a couple more, I just didn't know it.
Yeah, we didn't really deal with concussions back then.
Right. Yeah, there's no rule or nothing.
Hey, but you know what, Tank, you know, since we're talking about health, you know, we talked off air, you've been trying to get in a little bit of better shape, and you're very proud of the fact that you've been doing that. So do you want to talk a little bit about the reasoning why you decided to do that? You know, how much weight you've lost and whatnot? Do you feel cool talking about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like my last match was May of 2017. And, you know, and then I went behind the scenes, which we can talk about a little bit. But for the most part, man, I was just getting up there, just a lot of aches and pains and not being able to move. And, you know, 20-some years of being in the ring that just kind of killed me. So, you know, between football and, you know, wrestling and just daily life, you know, it's getting hard to move. So I just took it upon myself to make the change and drop some weight. And I think now I'm around 152, 153 pounds down in about a year and a half. So almost 2 years.
Very cool. What are you doing to get them results?
Just really just strict calorie deficit, deficient diet type thing. A lot of protein, a lot of water, no alcohol, no pop. And if you guys know me, you know, especially John and Donnie, you know, over the years, like I killed some pop, you know, and mm-hmm. a few beers as well. But
probably more beers than pop, I'd say.
Well, you know, as I gotten older and stuff like that with the kids and stuff, like I don't party like I used to, and I don't think anybody could. Still be alive, but you know, for the most part, you know, just I you know, I when I stopped wrestling, I picked up coaching football and a little bit of wrestling here and there, and just dealing with the kids and stuff. Like, you know, I'd stop at the gas station and grab a couple 20-ounce, you know, Coke Zeros or Pepsi Maxes and kill two or three of those during practice and grab a couple more after practice, and it just got too much. And as soon as I cut those out, I mean, I lost like 20 pounds like in a week or two, and it was like no time at all. And I just took that momentum and just kept on going with it. And, you know, I had a pop in a year and a half, and I had a couple of drinks, you know, bachelor parties and, you know, little get-togethers and stuff like that, but very, 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 very rarely. So I told myself, until I meet my ultimate goal, I'm not going to splurge or do anything stupid. So,
I was going to say real quick, Tank. Sorry, Donnie. Bottom line, do you feel better? I mean, I guess that's the bottom line, you know, with making these changes. Does your body feel like it's healing, like it's better and whatnot?
Overall, yeah. My knees move a little bit better than what they were, but I mean, there's too much damage to my knees and my hip to ever, you know, really be healthy 100% again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I don't think I've ever talked about it, but, man, I was pushing four. My highest was 439, and right now I'm sitting at 290. So I was 290 yesterday, day after my birthday. So
very cool.
Cool.
So, that was kind of what I was getting hit, because I, like I said, I know last time we had seen each other, we went to the old 1333 spot and went to Dave's Pizza for dinner, and I noticed like both of us was grunting and groaning, getting up from the table, go to bathroom or to go to leave or whatever. And I was just wondering, like John had asked about those pains and aches, and was, you know, are you feeling better than before, or just like you said with your knees and hips, there's just, it's just the same pretty much, you're just lighter?
I mean, definitely it's better. Like I said, I'll never be 100%, but, you know, I didn't expect to be. But at the same time, like, with everything going on, you know, anything is better than nothing. And, you know, when I get out of bed, you know, I don't sound like an old man anymore. Like, there's no, you know, like, groaning and moaning. And
there you go.
You know, I pop out of bed pretty quickly, and, you know, just going upstairs a lot easier, coming downstairs a lot easier, you know, where my knees, you know, they'd hold me, but just, you know, it just didn't feel secure, I guess, safe, you know, going up downstairs, like, but for the most part, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling a lot better. Thank God I took that initiative to do it. So
let me ask you this, Tank.
Sure.
I'm doing something similar right now, and you said you're on a calorie deficit. Are you counting your calories every day?
No, I'm not. I just, for instance, this morning I had one piece of bacon and probably two forkfuls of scrambled eggs, and I left the table and went outside, and I've been working all day, and sitting down here, like, I talked to Donnie a little bit earlier, and he asked if the podcast was still on. I'm like, yeah, I'll just be home in about 20 minutes. That was the first time I sat down all day.
Okay.
You know, so it's not the most ideal situation. You know, I should be eating 3 or 4 times a day. I got to force myself to eat sometimes, cause I'm just go, go, go. And, you know,
okay.
Before the podcast, I grabbed a protein bar and I grabbed some water. So, you know, the big thing is staying hydrated to me. Like,
right.
You know.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to know what you both of you guys have gone through physically, because I'm just a ring announcer. I don't have to go through all that. But I was similar to you. I reached a high weight of 387. I said, I've got to do something to change this. And since January, I've lost about 52 pounds.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. It just, when I would look in the mirror, man, like, it never really, like, I never really looked to myself. I never really looked big. And then you see pictures and stuff, and I always hated getting my picture taken. And then I see those pictures and stuff back then, and I go, damn, bro, you were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it just wasn't healthy. And, you know, and I'm no expert. I'm not claiming to be an expert, no health fanatic or anything like that. But, you know, it kind of feels good to kind of give back to certain people. I worked with a doctor. I didn't mention that, but I have worked with a doctor about, like, what to try to stay away from and, you know, what to focus on. And you know, like I said today, like, I really am not showing a really good example of what their program was. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I feel good trying to help people, you know, reach their goals and health and that type of situation. And if I can keep somebody from going down that path, I'm happy, because, you know, I don't want somebody to be as miserable as I was inside and out, because I was just a ticking time bomb.
Right.
Well, let's go back to talking about wrestling there, Tank. Sure. For those that are maybe not familiar with you, who were some of your favorites? Because, you know, we're all big fans, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this, you know. So who were some of your favorites as a kid to watch?
Come on, we're not doing this for the money.
Yes, those lucrative contracts that we all have.
I mean, obviously, like, my first memory of wrestling, other than coming outside my front door one summer day and seeing a wrestling ring in my neighbor's backyard, which was my first exposure to the business, I guess. But I just remember, like, my father and I, or first, my first recollection was being on my grandfather's floor and, you know, just him watching wrestling. I don't remember who was in the ring. I just remember the ring and the punching, the kicking, the moves, the crowd, you know, and this was probably early 80s. And then, like, my first, like, actual recollection was of people was WrestleMania 1 when it was Hogan and Roddy Piper. And I just remember my dad telling me about it, and we were looking in the paper for the results. Like, you know, like, I guess back then, like, sometimes they post the results for at least local shows. And, but, you know, Hogan and Piper were, like, the first two big influences. But then as I kind of started watching, I really gravitated towards the Rock and Roll Express, just the way they dressed, the move, the way the crowd reacted to them. Dusty Rhodes, Arn Anderson, you know, I loved the WWE, but man, I lived on NWA wrestling.
Thank you.
it was night and day to me. I mean, and it's not a knock on WWE. WWE was the production. You can just tell, but man, like, you just thought that, like, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes hated each other, and you thought that, you know, the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express, like, hated each other, and yep. Just, dude, there's just no amount of money that, you know, I can't even think of the comparison that I was make, but it was insane. I mean, there was no way that I was not going to do this in some form or fashion.
So I have a quick follow-up question. So
sure.
How long did it take for your neighbor to smarten you up? Or did he, for a while, did he just kayfabe everything?
Oh,
you know,
he kayfabed everything until my first match.
Oh, okay.
I mean, okay. I kind of, you know, like I said, like, I started, you know, my first match was a month before my 18th birthday in April 95. The beginning of April. And, so from the time I was, you know, 11, 12, 13 to 18, I would travel with him and the Green Hornet to every show. Cause they had a ring and they had their own promotion. So if it wasn't their show, we were on the road to somebody else's show. And I had met so many cool people, Jesse Salica, Lord Zoltan, Frank Stiletto, Kid Collins, Thunder Morgan, Jimmy Lee. I mean, all, you know, there's so many guys on the independent circuit around in and around Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. I mean, there's so many guys that I've met and learned from over the years just by sitting down, shutting up, and just watching and helping, you know, set the ring up, take the ring down, play the music. I did everything but ring announce, which I don't think I could ever do. So hats off to you, to Jim and John over there. So
I got you covered.
but yeah, man, like, just, you know, being at shows and kind of, like, before, you know, sitting in the locker room, just sitting there in the corner, just listening. And I mean, like I said, you kind of, like, get how things are ran, but you never say out loud because, you know, you just knew that this was something special back then.
Mm-hmm.
Even, even this was like, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, you know, you just knew that, you know, you shouldn't be talking about this. No one ever said anything, you know, no one ever said, don't talk about this. We don't, you know, but you just knew like this was for the boys and the girls of the business. And I had a very, very small role, but I loved that role growing up.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, you talked about learning and sitting in the corner, being quiet. And you also talked about helping people with like your weight loss journey. But you've also helped in wrestling business. You started Spinebuster University a while back and ran your own school out of Akron for OCW. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I actually use some of the guys you train. So yeah, the proof is in the pudding that you're putting out some good talent.
Yeah, we after after Jeff Cannon shut down OCW, and there was a situation that presented itself that that I could kind of co-own the company, and through some prodding and pushing and asking and begging from a couple other talent from the OCW roster, we took over OCW. And about 6 months into it, we decided to open up a school. We had an old gym, old elementary school gym that became available. And we started Spinebuster U. And from the very first class, I mean, we had a tryout class of almost 20 people, and we weeded down to four, and one was still in high school. So she had to drop out and come back like when she was like not doing her, you know, summer senior sports. But, and then we had a second class, and that one was six, and we ended up dropping all but two. We didn't take everybody. We didn't want everybody. And that's not to say that the business doesn't have a place for everybody, because I do think that. I'm thinking I'm the only one of the very few that do think that. But it just wasn't their time. And the four that I'm really claiming training ownership over or responsibility for have really stepped up. I really haven't kept up with them lately. Just, you know, various texts and whatnot, because due to some
certain circumstances.
Definitely some certain circumstances. I'm no longer, I don't consider myself in the business. That may change. It may not in the near future, but currently I'm not really doing anything actively. And, you know, so, you know, you're kind of, when, you know, you're not in it, you're not around it, you're kind of out of sight, out of mind, another spoke in the wheel kind of thing. And, but last I checked, man, they've been really killing it, and I'm proud of them. And hopefully they kind of do the things that are required and necessary to take it to that next level. Cause at least three of them, I think, have the ability. I not to talk bad about anybody, but the fourth one is having some confidence issues, I think. And you can't have that trying to go anywhere in this business.
Right.
To the next level. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, some of those, Jake Ely and Chuck the Truck and Gino DiCapo, they've all worked for New Ohio, and they go out there and kill it. And
they do
great jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And, I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very respectful in the back. They're like the perfect, you know, they're doing you proud. So you should be proud of that. Speaking of you not being in the business anymore, even though I've tried numerous times to get you to move back to Columbus so we can get this going again. Do you ever have any thoughts of returning once you said, I know you said you got knee and hip issues and all that, but being at your lighter and feeling better, any thoughts of getting back in the ring?
I mean, I guess we never say never in the business, but probably not. I have three sons that are very active in their own sports, and I coach two of them. So for me to kind of take that focus away from them, I don't think is fair. That's not to say that maybe every once in a while or maybe one special occasion I might show up somewhere.
Right.
But anything like I was doing, you know, a couple years ago and for, you know, 15 of my 22 years, probably not.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing you make ring gear because with all that weight you've lost, I don't think your old gimmick will fit.
I've actually thought about trying to put that stuff on, but it's in a suitcase and locked away someplace. I'm not really allowed to go. So, the big thing, I think, I mean, my gear can be altered, I know, but I can slim that down a little bit. But man, I'm afraid to like try my boots on for sure. my legs are not tree trunks anymore. They're more like saplings. So
lost a big bowling ball calves, huh?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, especially with this quarantine, I can't get back in the gym to save my life. So, you know, for the big part of it, I'm over here like picking up cut out. I've had trees in my backyard blown over from storms and stuff, so I've cut them up and lifted those. But there's only so much, you know, trees that I can lift. So, you know, I'm hoping the gym opens up very, very shortly. So safely, but shortly.
Mm-hmm. Tank, do you have a favorite match? Because I will share, if I may. One of my favorite Sherman Tank matches was the one of the many battles that Jeff Cann and you had in Newark at the Armory, where you guys
Falls Count Anywhere?
Yeah, the Falls Count Anywhere. You guys just went all over that building, but it was such an exciting match. The fans were totally into it. Like, they were absolutely just awestruck with it. And you guys tore the house down. That's personally just one of my favorites. But do you have a favorite match?
I don't have a favorite. So I'll give you like my top five.
Okay.
Top three. And that is definitely one of them. Like you said, Jeff and I had a great chemistry. He's such a ring general. I mean, he could probably wrestle a broomstick and have a five-star match. He just had an amazing mind for the business, and I wish he was still in it, because I would probably still be in it if he was in it, for sure. Given the certain things that, you know, wouldn't have realigned the way they did once he got out. But yeah, that match was amazing. The pacing, the just the right amount of craziness, but nothing too insane. But like you said, like, that crowd was just hot. And Newark was always a good town for us, and I definitely loved that match. Another match was me and Shank. I can't remember the year, but I hope he remembers this match. It was for the IWA in Marion. I can't remember the building, but we did this one spot, and it was a hip toss, reverse spot, and I threw him over the top rope, and he took that thing like a champ. And that was one of my favorite matches with Shank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and to say that we've had probably four or five that were just as good over the years. He like you said, we always beat the living dog shit out of each other, and it was fun.
A lot of good ones.
And one of my next ones was my last match with Juice Jennings. And the J. Babe Stern Center down in Canton, May 2017, it was same type of situation. Crowd was on fire. And we had only been there, I think, maybe one time before that. But the crowd was hot. And it was just the right time. Right time to go out. It ended up being the right place to go out. Although I would have loved for it to be if we had ran more shows in Columbus, because that was my second home, or even Coshocton or Newark or Zanesville. I think those were the hotbeds of OCW back in the day. So, and I still get messages from fans going, will you please bring OCW back to, you know, Coshocton or, you know, Muskegon County or, you know, Zanesville or anywhere down there. And I'm like, dude, you're talking to the wrong guy, but
barking up the wrong tree.
But you're absolutely right, Tank. We always did very, very well in those three towns. And then, you know, we would branch out and try, you know, a show here, show there. Just still never really captured the essence of OCW as those three towns, Newark, Zanesville, and Coshocton.
Right. I mean, you know, Dover and Cambridge was always pretty good with us or for us. But, you know, for the most part, overall, it was just, you know, those three were the triple threat for OCW. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always,
I mean, all the shows that I can remember except maybe one, drew great. Crowd was hot. I mean, the only show that I can remember, not to talk, you know, bad, but about a situation was John. And if you remember this, after the St. Clairsville show.
Yes, I remember that show.
The Sunday Newark show after the St. Clairsville show, which was a cluster F to, you know, the nth degree anyway. But just something about that show the next day. We never ran on Sundays, and I don't think they were prepared for it. And, you know, a Sunday afternoon show just didn't really draw really well for us. But
you're absolutely right. That Newark crowd, that Sunday afternoon was not a happening. And the St. Clairsville show was abysmal the day before. And that's a very long story, but it was it was probably the worst OCW crowd we ever had, if I remember correctly.
And it was no fault to anybody in OCW, and I'm not trying to play, you know, scapegoat or, you know, trying to, like, toot anybody's horn that we never did anything wrong, but it was somebody from the outside that really screwed us over, and that was the last time that we let anybody screw us over.
So, yes.
But Matt Mason and I took it out on the guy, and we got our kind of got some payback on him, so
that was fun. What that happens in wrestling, get out of here. Also, you actually had tryouts back in the day with Jim's favorite promotion at TNA. I want to talk a little bit about that. Any good stories with that?
I ended up getting a tryout with during the gut check situation, I can't remember the year, early to mid-2000s, mid-2000s. It was, I mean, I'm in Canton, and I had to drive down to, what is that city down in Virginia? What city is Mickey James from? Somebody got to know that.
Fairfax?
Starts with an R.
Richmond?
Richmond, Virginia, okay. Yeah. And, I mean, dude, that was everything that I ever thought I wanted to do. I mean, obviously, Shank, we've had experience with another company, national company, but this was, I mean, I was treated really well. I ended up having a really good tryout with D'Lo Brown, an individual that I teamed up with and worked. His name was like D-Line. He was from the Richmond area. Him and his tag team partner, which he didn't do the tryout because he was injured, did like a football gimmick. Didn't know him from anything. Everyone just kind of paired up during this tryout, and we were just the two last guys to go. And you know, we went through the drills. Funny story is, we were going to do chain wrestling, and you know, a couple people went, and me and D went in, and I looked at D-Lo and I go, dude, this is going to be epic. And he goes, and D is a big guy, not as big as I was, but he was still a big boy. And, D-Lo goes, man, this is going to be epic. And D-Lo goes, yeah, I'm sure. And we went in there, and as soon as we went to go lock up, and again, there was no talking. There was no planning. There was no – it was just go out there and feel each other out and kind of, you know, just go with it. And as soon as we went to lock up, I went for a go-behind into an amateur, and we just rolled, man. And it was like magic. And when we were done, we got a standing ovation by the other tryout people. And D-Lo goes, holy shit, you know, that was amazing. And then he goes, that was epic. And I was feeling pretty good about myself and as D as well. And then we ended up doing a match, and we had like, I mean, assuming everyone's fairly smart about, you know, watching this podcast. So we had a 5-minute match, and we had 5 minutes to talk it over, and that was it. And we had to put a match together in 5 minutes. And after that match, we had another standing ovation by, you know, the crowd, by the boys in the back, by I had merchandise people come up to me. I had all of the roadies come up. All the people that do all the set design and everything, they all came up over and congratulated us and said, you know, of all the trials they've had over the course of however long it was, like months or a year, that was one of the best trials they've ever seen. And when it was all said and done, and while we were stretching, you know, to kind of backtrack a little bit, there was a couple of people sitting out in the crowd, and one of them was Jeff Jarrett. And so we're sitting there and do the tryout, go get changed in the back and stuff. And Jeff's back there, and he was really, really cool with me. And I really appreciated his professionalism. I could never say another bad word about Jeff Jarrett. I know some people not really a fan of his or whatnot, but I mean, Jeff, he treated me like I was on the roster. And invited me to stay for the show. Well, everyone to stay, but then the videographer that captured the tryouts came up and grabbed me and one other dude, and we were shooting commercials in the back for TNA.
Nice.
I don't even know if they ever aired, but you know, we were supposed to act like fans, you know, like how they kind of do the extra stuff. And you know, we're walking around with Mickey James and Jeff Hardy and stuff like that, and talking about Sting coming back. So we got the Iggy that Sting was coming back before it was really announced. And he goes, you know, we trust you, and hopefully, you know, you don't really say anything so this doesn't get out to anybody. And I didn't say anything, but and when I met with D-Lo to discuss the tryout, he goes, he goes, you had a tremendous day. He goes, there was 17 people in this tryout, and I stood out because I was the big guy. I mean, everybody else was like all cut and tan and, you know, looked like $1 million and stuff like that. And I was the Bam Bam Bigelow-esque type wrestler that, you know, stood out, I guess. But he basically said that he's like, I'm going to the booking committee, and I'm telling them to find a spot, make a spot, or something else about a spot, and get you on the roster. And my dumbass did not follow up, and I just assumed like it was a done deal. They had my information, and I never followed up with D-Lo, and nothing ever came about. So kind of shot myself in the foot there, but it was a valuable experience. I loved every second of it. Kind of a funny story was before the tryout, I was like really nervous. After the whole ECW debacle that Shank knows about. And I had to go to the bathroom and just look myself in the mirror going, you know, this is your time. You know, this is your chance. You know, take advantage of it. You know, there's so many people that don't really get that opportunity. And so for the most part, man, I had a flip switch in my head and took advantage of it.
Well, I'm going to have to go back through the archives because I've got Impact Plus. I'm going to see if I can find you.
There you go. So what you're trying to tell us is your TNA tryout was way better than our multiple ECW tryouts that you were making reference to?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. They weren't easy. What are you talking about? ECW guys weren't as warm and welcoming.
Well, there's one gangsta that is on my hit list if I ever see him in person.
Right. Are you mad? Are you mad he didn't mention you on his Dark Side of the Ring episode?
No. The funny story is he tried to add me on Facebook about 2 years ago.
And nuh-uh.
Like, yes, Jerome Young. And I was like, are you effing kidding me? I mean, you try to, you know, and I'm sure he didn't mean to do what he did. And to the extent that he did, he was just trying to be funny. Or basically, I was running the ropes and he swiped my ankle. And I had these high-tech Magnum boots on, which was popular at the time. And I ended up almost breaking my ankle. Luckily, I had my boots on really, really tight. I went to step and I looked at, and I had two big boots coming at my face from two guys that jumped in the ring, you know, to work us out a little bit to, you know, mm-hmm. to say, and I had to roll through so I didn't get kicked right in the face. Because I literally thought I broke my ankle. I don't know if you remember that, Shank, or not, but
mm-hmm. yep.
it killed. And, you know, testament to how much we wanted to be part of the business, I did not leave. Ended up staying for the show, taking the ring down, and it was raining. And I couldn't put too much weight on my ankle. I ended up falling down on the ramp with carrying the heavy-ass steel side of the ring. John, I'm sure you remember how Jeff's was.
Yeah.
But this was probably two or three times as heavy.
Oh, yeah, the ring was heavier than crap.
I mean, the ring was amazing. I will put that ring over to the day I die. That ECW ring was like the ropes were tight. The bump was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was like concrete, but yet a pillow. If you know what that kind of means, but
yep.
I mean, you could run on it and not twist an ankle, or not, you know, not sinking into the surface, into the mat, and but you bump on it, and it was like, oh, I could have slept there, and probably almost did.
So, you almost did after the New Jack ankle swipe, didn't you?
Yeah, but to say the least, yeah, TNA was they treated me a lot better than ECW did. Shout mm-hmm. out to Vic Grimes for being cool though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right on.
And Nova.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool dudes that, like I said, the tryouts that we did. It's just there's always them bad apples that usually leave a better impression than the good apples, you know what I mean? It sticks with you.
Well, at least I didn't get my balls tagged and Hot Commodity did. So
right. Yeah. All right.
And not even tagged, like felt up, I guess.
Molested.
A chew.
Yeah.
So Tank, what I know you're not training anybody right now, but what is the most important piece of advice you could give anybody that's getting into the biz?
The biggest piece of advice that I think I could give anybody who wants to be in the wrestling business is, first off, no matter where, what your goal is, whether it's, you know, just do the independents or do, you know, try your hand at AAEW or WWE or Ring of Honor or any national company, is you got to want it. I mean, it's got to be what you live and breathe 99% of the time. Because even doing it on the independent scene like we did, I mean, you miss so many birthdays and anniversaries and holidays, and to do that, you know, nationally, you're going to miss a lot more. So you got to want it. That's the big thing. And the other thing is, man, just shut your mouth. Everyone wants to be a star. Everyone wants to, you know, be the champ or, you know, be the superstar. Not everyone gets that chance. Not everybody, you know, has that opportunity, but you got to learn the business before you can even start grasping, you know, at the chance to succeed. So, you know, I referenced earlier, you know, when I was coming up and paying my dues and sitting in the corner and talking when, you know, I only talked when I was talked to, or when somebody spoke to me. And I just shut up and listened and learned. And, you know, I'm not saying I had the best career or made the most money or the most memories, but I think I did fairly well for myself. And, you know, for the most part, I think I attribute that to the people that I ran with and the opportunity and experiences that I had. Where, you know, and it all started when I was sitting in the locker room when I was 12, 13 years old, shutting up and learning. So I didn't do everything the most perfect way. I probably burned more bridges than I built, but I'm not upset about that because I am the person that I am because of what I did. But for the most part, and I stood up for myself, I think, finally, to a lot of people that, you know, discounted me and counted me out. But, you know, I wasn't a pushover, you know, to anybody, I guess. Those would be the two big things I think I can tell someone who wants to get in the business. Just, you know, you got to really want it and just shut up and learn as much as you can from as many people as you can, not just your trainer, but there's so many different resources now and, you know, people from all levels trying to teach you and teach the next generation. And you got to take advantage of that because if you don't, you're just missing out on a good education.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that last one. I think that was, you know, one of the things that separated out really good workers in OCW or whatever indie that we were working versus those that were subpar, because those that were subpar were the folks that wrestled, you know, once a month for promotion X, you know, and didn't go to this promotion or that promotion or wherever, you know, try to learn a little something because, you know, as Donnie and, you know, Tank and even probably Jim, you know, this as well, there's different types of crowds, you know, that like certain things and want certain things. And, I think that was always the thing that behind the scenes in OCW that sometimes frustrated some of us, you know, that were trying to help out with creative, was that, you know, if this individual wants a spot, but yet they're still doing the same match over and over and over again because all they do is work OCW, you know?
Right. And that's fine. Like if all you wanted to do is one promotion once a month,
sure, yeah,
that's all you have time for, or you know, that's, you know, just the scope of your ability or availability per se, then that's great. That's awesome. But if you are doing shows once a month for one promotion and you're drawing the same 50 people,
Not that OCW ever drew 50 people. I think that was a bad show if we ever drew 50 people. And, you know, you had dreams of going to WWE and that was your goal, then you're not going to get there at all.
Yep, exactly.
So,
yeah.
I want to bring up a point that while you were talking, it kind of stuck with me, and which I know this from experience being in the locker room with you many times, but you'd made reference to where you'd go into a corner and you'd find your little spot and you'd sit there and you'd be quiet. And that you did do that for a fact. And that's kind of what you were known for. But some people would take it as, you know, that you always conceited or you don't like anybody or you don't want to talk to anybody. But other people take it, you know, so you just want to take it as, like you said, you're sitting there, you're being quiet, you're listening, you're learning, which I did this stuff a lot too. But, you know, I was also a goofball and I, you know, like, so, you know, just for people that's listening, that's wrestlers or in the locker rooms, if there is somebody that's sitting in the corner like that and they're being quiet, you know, it could be for different reasons. You might think they're stuck up or they're conceited or they don't want to talk to anybody, but maybe that's just their style. Maybe they're just sitting there listening and learning. Maybe they're introverted. You know, maybe they're not, you know, outgoing. I mean, Tank would be in the corner and, you know, a lot of people would walk right by and wouldn't, you know, they would say, hey, give him the handshake, but that was about it. And people really didn't, you know, get a chance to talk to him or know him. And then you got guys like me that would like walk up behind him and grab him by the tits, or when he's sitting in his chair, I'd go up and rub my junk on his shoulder or something, you know. Oh, you know, you got guys like me that do stuff like that, and you know, you come to find out the Tank's a great dude, you know.
Safe babe, bro.
Yeah. Right. So you know, just for future reference, anybody out there that's listening, you know, if you have that quiet guy or gal in the corner, you know, go up and talk to them. You know, maybe they just maybe they're just doing their business and trying to learn, you know. And, you know, I always say shut up and listen, you know. That's my moniker as well. So, you know, when you mentioned that, it just kind of brought that to my attention, and I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, and to say that I was an introvert is saying the least, but I mean, I never should have been in this business per se, because I was never really like outgoing or, you know, and I was labeled as someone who thought I was conceited or stuck up or knew it all or whatever. But dude, honest to God, the big thing is I always never thought I was good enough. I never thought I was, and that's why I never really attempted any, you know, other than ECW and TNA. You know, I never really, you know, took advantage of opportunities because I never thought I was good enough. And I don't know if Donnie remembers any type of the situations like that, but I mean, I had a ton of self-doubt. And I mean, again, not to put myself over, I was better than I thought I was.
Absolutely.
But I never thought I was good enough. And that's why I never really tried WWE or WCW, you know. But
yeah, and I bet there's a lot of that out there. People just don't really talk about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the level of introvert that I was, I'd almost would mark that up to some sort of, like, mental – what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, mental – help me out here.
Like, condition or, like – mental health issue?
Yeah, like a mental health issue. And it wasn't even just wrestling. It was just life in general, man. I never thought I was like, you know, I never thought I was good looking enough or smart enough or athletic enough or for anything. And, you know, up until probably 2 or 3 years ago, I still thought that. And at times I still do. And again, and I'm not trying to say that I'm any of those things, but, you know, I just stopped caring what people thought.
Mm-hmm.
And when I stopped caring I stopped caring what people thought and I stopped giving a damn about like how people treated me, and I cut out the negativity of my life of, you know, people who I thought were my friends and people who I thought, you know, I need to have this person in my life because they make me a better person. But in reality, they really drug me down and was a lot negative influence on me. It made me feel bad about myself. And I was like, dude, screw this. I'm better than that and a better person, and I deserve more. And I cut these people out, and I've not been happier since I did that. So,
yep, not a bad move for sure. No. Get rid of all the negativity. And like I said, I remember times where you'd be in the corner and there'd be a few people come out and be like, well, Tank's in the corner. He looks like he's in a pissy mood. So, you know, feel sorry for whoever's going to wrestle him. And I'd be like, well, not for long, because I'm getting ready to go in there. And then I'd go in there and just fuck with you just on purpose, just to, you know, to see what kind of mood you were in. And I'm like, well, he's either going to punch me in the junk or he's going to laugh and, you know, tell me to get away from him. And like I said, you know, you just never know.
I mean, you know, and Donnie can attest to, like, my attitude, the way I carried myself back then. Like, I was constantly not in a happy mood. I was not happy with myself. I had a lot of stress at home with the health of my father and other family members and stuff like that. And that really, it took a toll on me. And then, you know, coming to Columbus in 96 and, you know, and then, my happy spot was IWA at the beginning, because, you know, that's where I met, you know, Costa and Rico and Shank and, you know, Mason and all those guys, you know, just kind of, and then, but at the same time, like, I was miserable. You know, I wouldn't work out. I stopped working out. I would stop. And that's where, like, it's just a vicious cycle of the whole weight thing and you know, just my whole mindset of not being good enough, and it just spiraled out of control. And then, you know, 20 years later, here I am, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. So you can definitely tell the difference.
A health issue, I think.
Oh, heck, we all got a little mental health issues, or we wouldn't get in between the ropes like that.
I never claimed to be sane, so.
Right. Speaking of insane, let's switch the gears a little bit and go to the horror side of it, if you guys don't have any more wrestling questions.
Go right ahead.
And like I said, I don't even know. I can't remember if we've even talked much about it, but are you a big horror fan? Do you like horror? I know you. I think you went to Haunted House with me and Terry and them once or so, I believe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, given the fact that, you know, like, I've carried a lot of negativity in my life for the longest time, like, to make myself feel better, I was always a comedy guy, like, right. Comedy movies, comedic movies and stuff like that. I was never like a, you know, a Rambo or stuff like that. I mean, I'd watch it and enjoy it, but, you know, if I'm gonna watch the funny movie to make me feel good, as opposed to the movie that's gonna piss me off and make me hate the Russians or something. So but yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny. I'm the only one in my house that kind of still enjoys somewhat going to a haunted house, as long as there's no simulated rape.
We're not going to touch that one.
I know what you're talking about.
All right. As long as you do. Okay.
Yeah, and see, if I may interrupt, I thought the best sentence of this podcast was "rub my junk on his shoulder," but yet,
he's always trying to up me, bastard.
You set the bar so low. but yeah, like, for the most part, like, I mean, I kind of grew up with, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, Halloween a little bit, and Friday the 13th. Those were like my jams. But aside from that, like, you know, I go to a haunted house now and I kind of like laugh at people. I hate to say that, but a friend of mine a couple years ago went down to Mansfield Prison for the haunted house, and we were going in the jail cells just for that experience, you know, and they paired us up with like four or five different like women group, like people walking down, you know, they want you to grow in groups of like seven or eight, and they put us with a bunch of like 20 something, you know, women, and they're jumping left and right, and me and my buddy are like laughing, and that kind of sucked, because it just wasn't scary for us, but, right. You know, but the whole, like, you know, the haunt the paranormal. I mean, I'm definitely interested in that. So,
yeah, well, that's Jim's cup of tea right there, because Jim's, he's a big haunted house actor. That's his thing. He's like right. a guru at it, but he does paranormal too.
Yes.
Yeah, that definitely. I definitely want to go to the Mansfield Prison and do the tour in the overnight, see how that is. And there's a couple more, the Newark Prison, Newark Jail down in Newark, Ohio, and there's I think one in West Virginia,
Moundsville State Penitentiary.
Moundsville, yep, State Penitentiary.
I've been there twice overnight.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Got some interesting stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That, see, I don't have any of the equipment, so, but just the whole experience, I think, would definitely, you know, I was a big Ghost Adventures fan for years watching that show, and it just seemed like they are the ones that kind of got the most activity readings, I guess, but.
Well, Jim's got all the equipment, so we'll have to plan something.
Right.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, once everything's lifted and life gets back to a semblance of normalcy, we should all get together and, you know, sign up for one of these, and we'll do an overnight. I've got all the equipment we need.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Road trip.
Yeah, I'm in.
Come on, John.
Damn it, I was trying to slide under the radar.
John's afraid of ghosts.
I am.
That's why we need him to go.
You'd be like those 20-year-old girls that we went with. Come on.
That's right. Exactly.
You scream like a girl, John?
Probably.
Well, we'll probably find out. We're going to make him go with us.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to do something like that. I know Donnie's been itching to do it, and you've shown an immense interest, Tank, so it'd be a lot of fun to do something overnight.
Like yeah, so Shauna Reed, she's big into it too. I'm sure we can get a big crowd.
Sure, we could. A
big group.
A bunch of wrestlers?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Well, you know, there's...
See who will separate the men from the women. I'm not even talking about sex.
Well, I mean, I've never been to one, but so I may slide onto the women's side.
I'll tell you guys.
I'm right there with you.
I'll tell you guys this. Have you ever heard of Waverly Hills down in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes.
That place is immensely haunted. I've been there a couple of times. We could get a group together. If we get a group of at least 10 people, we could do an 8-hour overnight for $100 a person.
Oh, I'm sure 10 people wouldn't be a problem.
And I'll tell you what, all I'm going to say, fourth floor. Just remember that.
Is that room 21 or something? Room 12 or room 21?
No, you're thinking of room 529 on the top.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember Waverly Hills. That stuck out to me. I didn't know where it was at. I couldn't remember where it was at, but yeah, I'm definitely down for doing something like this.
Yeah. And Moundsville, again, is a good one to go to. It's a little less expensive. It's about $50 a person for overnight. And it goes like from, I think, 11 o'clock to 6 a.m.
And then we can hit up Waffle House.
There you go. There are sheets around that area?
There might be something in Moundsville.
There's not a whole lot in Moundsville. There is a nice little diner, though. That's where we went for breakfast. So.
Oh, mom and pop place?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Best kind.
Nice.
But yeah, we'll definitely have to do that sometime. As a matter of fact, I just cleaned out the closets and found all three of my equipment cases. So
nice,
cool.
And I'm getting ready to build a thermal imager.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So Chris doesn't know it yet, but I'm getting ready to build one.
Ashley don't need to know the details of that.
Are you kidding? She's been wanting a thermal imager for years.
That's what I'm saying. You build it, and then you show it to her when it's done.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Definitely, I better ask forgiveness and permission.
Right.
I got to make sure I go buy the parts without her catching on to it, you know.
Pay cash, Jim. Pay cash. Don't leave a trace.
No trail. Or well, see, nobody's taking cash right now.
Well, when this is all over, yeah. You know. Yeah.
See, I can slide in with my American Express because she's not on that.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, there you go.
Only home without it.
Exactly.
But so, gosh, you guys get me on a paranormal. We'll never get off this call. But we're not. This isn't Wrestle Horror Paranormal. It's Wrestle Horror.
All right. Well, paranormal is horror. But if I go into a building and it's dark and something starts touching me, I'm going to be scared shitless.
And it's probably a ghost rubbing their junk against your shoulder. Right. See, the karma comes right back to
gonna
get
be,
you.
It's going to be a payback. then they turn the lights on and it's Tank.
I'm telling you right now, when I die, I'm doing that to you. So.
I'll tell you right now, I have been touched at Moundsville twice, at Waverly Hills once, and a private residence once.
Nice. What does that feel like? Does it just feel like an actual person touching you, or is it a different feeling?
Well, in the case at Moundsville, something tugged on my pant leg. We were sitting down at a table in the cafeteria, and there was nothing around us. And there's something yanked on my pant leg, so I immediately took my IR camera down there to look for something and couldn't find anything anywhere that would do it. It felt like a person tugging my pant leg.
What if you don't wear pants?
Yeah, I don't think Tank's ever wore pants.
Well, then they might pull your leg hairs.
What if you don't have leg hair?
You're going to lose a shoe. There you go. You're losing a shoe, Tank.
In Donnie's case, they might grab his junk, but.
Right. They'd be disappointed.
Can't be first, but be next.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a couple infrared cameras. All the recording gear. I've got no contact thermometers, which are hot now. I got divining rods, dowsing rods, EMF meters, voice recorders, just a litany of stuff we could use and hopefully get some good data. So
that would be amazing.
Let's plan on this when this all goes away, whatever that may be.
I'm in.
I'm getting a little tired of being cooped up.
Just remember.
It's making everybody go stir crazy.
But just remember, the murder hornets are coming next.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Murder hornets. And that's real life. That's not a horror flick, right?
No.
That's what we need. You know, coronavirus, murder hornets, what's next?
Well, right. Godzilla like by that point. It'll be Godzilla at that point. You know?
Sounds like a Japanese deathmatch tag team.
But I was going to say rabid chihuahuas, but.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Tank. How long do you think it's going to be before a tag team or a wrestler does come out with the name Murder Hornet?
I made the suggestion yesterday that somewhere in the next few months, there's going to be a death match that uses COVID-19 somehow. You know it.
Right.
You know it. Like they're going to dip like tattoo needles in something and it's, oh my God, it's COVID-19. And, you know, stab them in the forehead. That's happening. You know it.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It's the resurrection of the Montezuma's Revenge match.
Oh man, we need to cover that one sometime.
Right?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because Tank, I just explained that to somebody about 3 weeks ago.
And what was the look that they gave you?
Huh?
What was the look that they gave you after?
During the
explanation.
It was on the phone actually, so I have no idea. They laughed hysterically. So yeah. That's another podcast for another time.
For sure. You can do an hour just on the Montezuma's Revenge.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And the participants.
Yes, and the participants. And Jeff still super pissed off that got greenlit.
Well, that's why he's not in the business anymore. Thanks, John.
I love – the best part about it was when he looked at me and goes, you're cleaning the shit up. Okay, I don't care. I get what I want, so I'll clean it up. Oh, my. All right, that's for another time.
Yeah, let's save that. It's been an awesome time talking here with Tank. And the clock on the wall is getting close to dinner time for me. So,
all right.
Well, I'm married. I have a wife that's going, dinner's ready. But this has been great. We've got some great insight to the business and Tank's weight loss journey, as well as some great advice and some great stories. And a lot of paranormal stuff, too. So it's been a fun interview, Tank. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
With that being said, I'm Meat Hook Jim, along with our special guest, Sherman Tank, Donnie Hoover, John Orlando. We're the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we are out. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram at WrestleHorror, Twitter at WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.wrestlehorror.com.